Hello and welcome to the Substance of Life Experience podcast. Glad you could join us today. I am your host, Angela, and today is dedicated to the class of 2020. I want to say congratulations to all of those individuals out there who have achieved the monumental goal of graduating from either high school or college. Caps off to you. And congratulations. When we look at a graduation ceremony, we're often bored because, you know, people have to walk across the stage. And if your last name starts with the letter S, you're going to be last. You know, those things that we used to take for granted, the class of 2020 has not taken for granted. In fact, most of them feel like they were shortchanged because they did not get the opportunity to be bored at their graduation. They did not get the opportunity to sit in the seat of honor and throw up their cap. And they did not get that opportunity because of COVID-19. And some may have had to have alterations to their graduation. But, you know, here in the United States, we do have a lot of fanfare centered around graduations and graduation ceremonies, and they do mean a lot to us, our family, and our friends. So for the class of 2020, I am speaking to you from a mom's perspective, from an auntie's perspective, from a grandmother's perspective. Baby, we are so proud of you that you did it. And we want to say congratulations from the bottom of our hearts. So, what is the next phase? What does the next piece or the next section of your life look like? And I am posing that question to the class of 2020 because COVID-19 is not going to be around forever. Pandemics do have an end. What are you doing to prepare yourself so that as you roll out of the COVID-19 2020 issues, you can roll in to a fruitful future? Now, granted, business as usual is not going to be business as usual, simply because we are looking at our society in a different way. And we're looking at the hiring of individuals in a different way. We're looking at interviewing individuals in a different way and from a different perspective. Therefore, you have to prepare yourself to meet that challenge. And that is what today's episode is geared around, providing you a way, some tools to prepare yourself for the next steps in a different way. So, like I tell every guest or every listener, I want you to sit back and relax. I want you to block out the noise so that you can really pay attention to some of the tidbits that I'm going to give you, some tools to prepare yourself for the next steps in a different way so that you can start planning your next steps. So one of the things that I always tell anybody that I might be mentoring is, what does your tomorrow look like? I ask that question. And I'm asking the class of 2020, what is it that you are looking for in your tomorrow? What is it that you are planning for in your tomorrow? And do you happen to have what is called a contingency plan, just in case that plan does not fall out the way that you anticipate? So the first item in the tool shed that I want to talk about is strategy. What is your strategy for developing your next tomorrow? Keep in mind, you are not in this world by yourself. You are surrounded by people who are in a position to help you. You need to define what that help looks like. You are surrounded by many people with various skill sets. who can help you get to the next phase. But you have to define what that next phase looks like. So what do I mean by that? I mean simply you need to come up with a strategy. Planning is everything. You come up with your strategy, and then you execute your strategy. It's really just that simple. I'm not going to make it complicated, and I'm not going to sugarcoat. You need to put in the work. You need to put in the time. And by doing so, you will begin to reap the benefits of your rewards. So for those individuals who are graduating from college, and I remember when I graduated from college, the most important thing on my mind was, I need to find a job so that I can pay off these student loans. And that was the first and foremost. I need to get a job so that I can start paying off these student loans. In today's world, getting a job looks a little bit different. Because as I speak to more and more 20-somethings and 30-somethings, I am discovering that there is a greater entrepreneurial spirit that is out there. And it's not just to get a job, it's to have a career or to have employment where they're the boss, they're the owner, they're the CEO. And hey, my hat's off to you. You can do that. You need to be realistic and you need to surround yourself around people who are willing to help you and not take advantage of you. I'm just going to throw that out there for what it's worth. So, coming up with a strategy, looking for employment. How do you plan on doing that? One of the things that I want to throw at you to think about is doing investigations or research on the companies that you feel like you want to work for. And I say that because, you know, you just don't want any job because, quite honestly, if you're not happy in what you're doing, you're not going to do it well. And what I'm finding is with your generation, you got to see that immediate gratification. Well, with the COVID-19 environment as it is today, you may not get immediate gratification a year to 2 years to 3 years from now. You need to think about what can you take with you? What skills can you learn while you're in that particular place of employment at that particular time? What tools can you glean from being in the environment that you can grow from? I know it's a different perspective to look at, and it's a hard pill to swallow. And I say that because, you know, I've had so many individuals that I've mentored. Job hopping for them is absolutely a no-brainer. If I'm not happy, I'm leaving. Boom. Now, quite a few of them still live at home with their parents. And that's another podcast altogether. Because now that you have left college, if you do not and have not secured employment that is self-sustaining, meaning that you can sustain your lifestyle, guess where you're going? Yeah, back home. And, you know, I can recall when I graduated from college, going back home was not the thing that I wanted to do because there was such an exuberance and freedom in college. And you know that if you go back to your parents' house, you are going to be subjected to rules and regulations that you have to follow. Why? Because you are not paying rent there. I'm going to keep it real. So these are the things that you need to start thinking about. Coming up with a strategy. Researching those companies that you feel you might want to work for. The next thing that I want you to think about, I want you to write a list of the skill sets that you currently have. And then I want you to draw a line down the middle of the page. And on the right-hand side of that paper, I want you to make a list of the skill sets that you want to gain. And what this is going to do is help you to focus in on what your deficit might be. For example, one of your skill sets might be, you know how to build web pages, and you're an IT person, and you can build web pages very effectively and efficiently, and, you know, that's a skill that you have, but you've only worked in one language, and I'm going to just throw out one language, Python. You don't know how to code in anything else. So you might think about, well, maybe I might need to expand my horizons and start looking online for some freebies where I can learn other coding languages. Make no mistake, COVID-19 is horrific. It is requiring us to be indoors so that we can help protect our fellow citizens. However, it can be a time for personal growth. And what I am challenging the class of 2020 to think about is just that, personal growth, your personal growth. So the illustration about learning one programming language or knowing one programming language but wanting to learn another, you've got time to do that right now. You've got time to investigate and look at different corporations that you think you might want to work for and to learn a little bit more about those organizations. So now is the time. That's part of your strategy. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to be honest with yourself. How well do you interview? Interviewing is a big part of you getting a job. How well do you present yourself when you're on an interview? So in our new society, you're not going to be going to that corporation and sitting behind a desk in front of a panel of people interviewing. The majority of the interviews that you're going to do are either going to be telephonic or on an electronic media similar to Zoom. Everything that you're going to do is going to be in a virtual capacity. Are you prepared for that? You have to ask yourself, am I prepared for a virtual interview? Number one, do I have the software on my phone or on my laptop? And do I know how to use it? And if you don't, now's the time to learn. And I say that because I don't take it for granted that everybody knows how to work Zoom. Everybody knows how to work GoToMeeting. Everybody has that on their phone. So learning how to navigate those tools becomes extremely important. Why? Because those are the tools more than likely you're going to be using to conduct an interview for employment. Yeah, something to think about. The other item I want you to think about is your listening skills. How well do you listen? And I bring that up because when you're taking your interviews online, you're going to have to listen, and I mean really listen, to the questions that are being asked of you. Video interviews are going to be commonplace. And part of the video interview is they're going to ask you a question. And you have to come up with a good idea or a good answer at a moment's notice. If you haven't done that before, well, I'm going to suggest that you start practicing. Do you have an environment that is conducive for an interview? What does that look like? That means there needs to be a place where you have internet connection and it's stable. No buffering and buffering and buffering. You want to make sure that the background that is being projected is clear and presentable. You know, I was telling a group of high school students, you know, when you're doing an interview for college, if they're interviewing you virtually and you decide to do it in your bedroom and your bedroom looks horrible because they can see that there's a mess on the dresser or that you've got a pile of clothes on the floor, what does that say about you in the contents of your character? Yeah. I've had several high schoolers that after we have the talk and we go through practice interviews, they decided, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to bring out all my medals and put them behind me so that when I do my interview, they're going to look at my medals and they're going to know I'm a track star. Yeah, that speaks volumes. So for my college grads, I want you to think about the environment that you're doing your interview in. I want you to think about the background. I want you to think about the audio. I want you to make sure that you dress professionally, especially if you are going from the waist up. If you are a young lady, I'm expecting you to have modest jewelry on. I'm expecting you to present yourself in a very professional way. If you're a young man, I know you're going to have a haircut. I know you're going to groom your facial hair if you have facial hair. And I know that you're going to wear a tie or whatever the appropriate attire for the company that you happen to be interviewing for calls for. Because not all places are very strict in terms of their dress code. Some are, some aren't. So dressing professionally, I would not wear red to a video interview. I would try to refrain from very, very bright colors because you don't know what the person on the other end's digital equipment looks like. And it may interpret those colors differently. So we had taken photos and no one told me, hey, the dress code is black. Just wear a black blazer and a white shirt. So I wore a black blazer, but my shirt was like black and white stripes. Or, you know, if you decide to wear a lime green, all of that's going to pop differently. So your attire is very, very important. Dress professionally. Avoid bright colors. Every time you do an interview, you need to have a pen and paper or a pen and notepad with you. Always have a copy of your resume. Always, always have a copy of your resume. Because the questions that they ask undoubtedly will be centered around your resume and your skills. Your diction, your pronunciation, very, very important. I'm a New Yorker and I talk with my hands often. But when I am doing an interview and it's in a virtual setting, I try to refrain from moving my hands. For the next couple of minutes that you are actually online interviewing, there's nothing wrong if you're at a table with putting your hands on the table and resting them on the table and give the appearance of taking notes. There's nothing wrong with sitting straight and looking attentive to what the person on the other end is saying. And if you don't understand them, by all means, please say, excuse me, I didn't understand you, or you didn't come in clear. You know, when you're listening, always smile. Show that you're engaged. You are engaged with their conversation. That's extremely, extremely important because if the person is perceiving you as during the interview as ignoring them, I can tell you right now, you're not going to get the job. Unfortunately, when you're doing a virtual interview, everything is picked up. And oftentimes you will be recorded. So if it's down to three different people, they'll go back to those recordings and look at how you answered the question to justify, okay, well, you know what? Now we've down to two people and you're one of the two. Yes, these are things to think about, class of 2020, as you're moving forward with your strategy. The great thing about virtual interviews is you can go on more than one interview during the course of the day. And you can hop from state to state. And I think that that's absolutely wonderful because it doesn't box you in. Yes, you can work in Maryland, but live in Arizona. Yeah, what a difference. Something to think about. So remember, video interviews are going to be common. That's just how we're going to do business. They are going to see you. You are going to see them. So you want to familiarize yourself with all of the video interviews variables that are out there. And I just went over some of them with you, which was, hey, I need to make sure I have the correct software on my phone. I need to make sure that I have my resume present. I need to make sure that my presentation comes across stellar. I need to make sure that I have good eye contact, my background is sharp, and that my dress code is such that it's not hurting the eyes. Yeah, these are things that we think about when we think about those video interviews and what they should look like. More than likely, they'll probably last 5 to 10 minutes, but you want to make sure that those are the best 5 to 10 minutes that you can possibly give. The other thing that I want to talk about that you may see as commonplace is pre-recorded interviews. And what is a pre-recorded interview? A pre-recorded interview is where that potential employer may have some scripted questions and they're looking for you to respond to those questions and they'll record your responses. There's often a time limit to those types of interviews. And, you know, you answer the question. It's in a pre-recorded format. It's unnatural or it may feel unnatural. But I'm going to suggest that you practice doing that with friends and family so that you can become more and more comfortable with that type of structured interview. Most people don't think about that, but you don't know what type of interview you might be engaged in. And you want to be prepared for it. You want to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward. Now, the hard part about interviews like that is there's no body language to interpret. And unfortunately, they're going on what they're hearing and they're going on the way that you speak. These are tools that you need to think about as you're moving forward post COVID-19. So once your interview is over, it is customary for you to thank everyone. If it's a panel or if it's a pre-recorded series of questions, make sure you slide in that thank you. And then it is also customary that you send a thank you to the organization via email, letting them know that, you know, you appreciate them interviewing you and taking the time out to notice you, and also to stick in a caveat that, you know, you're looking forward to hearing from them. That makes it sound as if, yes, I did a fantastic time and I'm looking forward to you contacting me to make me a job offer. Now, do these tools work? Of course they do. I met several individuals who had interviews over the phone and interviews via a Zoom or a GoToMeeting, and they got hired. They had their intake for the company via the internet, and they're now employees. And I'm very, very proud of them. They are from the graduating class of 2020. And, you know, even with them, they felt like, hey, I didn't expect this in any way, shape, or form. But they did get the job done. They graduated, and now they're employed. So this podcast was designed to give you just a few tips and to let you know, hey, it ain't over. There's a whole lot left. And you have to step up to the plate. And you have to make sure that you are competitive as you are moving forward to find a job.